Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse number 7. I am interested in this verse as Brother Earl gives us opportunities to stand before you. The writer of Hebrews said, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God." There is a large number of people over hundreds and hundreds of years that have preached the word of God unto us. And the writer of Hebrews said, "Remember them." And he asks us not only to remember them, but he said, "Whose faith follow?" He said, "Find out what kind of faith they had and follow that kind of faith." Then he made the statement, "Considering the end of their conversation." You that study your Bible, you know that conversation is one's walk. He said, over hundreds of years, these that have preached the Bible to us, he said, consider their faith and consider how they ended up their life. And if the Lord would allow me, I'd like to look at some of these that have come before us. And I'd like to preach on this subject. Is there any among us like these? I was recently, my wife needed some studies of missionaries. And flannel graph studies of the old reformers, various and different men that had been the centerpieces of our history. And we went to three bookstores, and they had nothing of that. Nothing. Zero. But that's not what scared me. No, that didn't scare me at all. What scared me is they didn't know what she's talking about. Now that scared me. So if the Lord would allow us this morning, I'd like to unpack and lay before us Jonathan and Sarah Edwards. And I'd like to ask us this morning, could there possibly, maybe just one or two, I doubt there'd be a large crowd, but maybe just one or two among us like these two. They are the reason that we are here this morning. Jonathan and Sarah Edwards lived in the 1700s. And I'd like to begin this morning, as our text tells us, remembering them. Their faith, their manner of life, how they ended up. As we look at their early life this morning, they lived in the 1700s. They both died the same year, 1758. They both died a few weeks apart. He lived to be 52. And she lived to be 49. I was wondering here this morning, how many do we have here this morning that exceeds 52? Oh my, what a crowd. I am amazed at what these two people did before they died. Because I am convinced of this little thought. A long life does not always make for a successful life. Do not get mad at me. But old people are not always wise people. And young people are not always strong. As the old writer said, only one life 'twill soon be past. Only what is done for Christ will last. I was wondering this morning, not being nosy, in a 24-hour period, how much of that would you think you would be applying to any eternal value? Laying up anything in the world to come. Jonathan Edwards, at the age of 10, wrote his first tract on the materialism of and the soul of man. At the age of 11, and I understand from my research that this is still a viable piece of material and still used today. At age 11, he wrote a discourse on the flying spider. The age of 11. At the age of 13, he went to Princeton College. He graduated at 17 as a valedictorian of class. I tell you what impressed me about Jonathan Edwards. He was saturated with the Word of God. At a very early age, his godly father, Thomas Edwards, began to soak him with the Word of God, saturate him with the Bible. I was wondering this morning, not being nosy, is there any among us like that? You are, I'm not talking about taking your kids to church. You take them to church 3 times a week and they still end up in hell. I'm talking about saturating them with the Word of God. Especially if you got them in public school, you better double D saturate them. You listening to me? Oh, young people this morning, be people of one book. Be people of one book. I love what John Wesley prayed as a young man in Latin. He prayed, Homo unus libri, Lord, make me a man of one book. One of the great reformers' mothers wrote in the flyleaf of his Bible, this book will keep you from sin. Sin will keep you from this book. Jonathan Edwards' wife, Sarah Pierpont, came from a very well-to-do family. She was taught all the sacred graces. Her father was the founder of Princeton College. But he too saturated her with the Word of God. Both of these two people, they didn't just read the Bible, they saturated themselves. They were people of one book. I was wondering this morning, Is there any soakers among us? I mean, you spend large parts of the day saturating yourself with the Word of God. You say, what is to be gained by that? Oh, you'll see what these two gained by it. You remember now, they died at 52. Oh, they died before. I don't know. I was just looking at the hands. I don't want to stretch it. I don't want to evangelistically speak it, but I believe over half of you raised your hand that you have already outlived Jonathan and Sarah Edwards. And I don't know how you feel. I hope you'll feel like a dog before I get done. I don't know if I have done half, let alone a quarter of what they did. Such a short period of time. But I believe it had a lot to do with that soaking deal. Saturated themselves with the Word of God. As we move from their early life into their middle life, you remember now, he died at 52, she died at 49. They just died a few weeks apart. Jonathan Edwards studied 13 hours a day. That was his study habits. You remember our country in those days was made up of 13 colonies. Not states, but 13 colonies. Jonathan Edwards was pastoring a fairly large city church in that Massachusetts colony. When they rose up on him and got mad at him on his stand on communion, he had some way out idea, I mean just left field idea about communion. He believed you ought to be saved before you take it. You know, just way out there off a deep end. And then he had this crazy idea. He believed that he ought to be able to police your life and make sure you're living it before he give it to you. You know, just some nutsy idea like that. Well, son, they put him to packing. They did not want to hear it anymore. So he began to preach to the heathens, the Indians, soldiers, renegades that are around. And he studied 13 hours a day. Jonathan and Sarah Edwards had 11 children. Jonathan Edwards gave 1 hour a day to focused family time.
You say, gracious, I didn't give much time to him.
Watch it now. 1 hour a day of focused time. I heard this statistic last week. The average American male gives 2 to 3 minutes a day of focused time to the family.
Hello.
Phone ring. 1 hour a day. Focus time. Saturation point. He's beginning to saturate those kids with the Word of God. He is said to have preached the sermons that began the Great Awakening and swept thousands of people into the kingdom. He wrote thousands and thousands of pages of Bible studies. Matter of fact, a number of his material today, they did not have paper. There was a lack of paper. And so you find much of his that makes up those that has been put in print now. You will find them on the back of grocery lists. You will find them on the back of patterns that she had cut out to make dresses. thousands and thousands and thousands of pages of great Bible theology and study. The two sermons that he preached that led to the Great Awakening, thought they were interesting studies. You remember now, Jonathan and Sarah Edwards had a strong, unshakable belief in a big God. They believed that he was in control of everything. At all times, in all places. They throw this little word around. They believed he was sovereign. Can you imagine a God that's in charge? They believed that man was a sinner and God was sovereign. They believed that God was divine and that man was depraved. They believed that man was impotent and God was omnipotent. They believed that man was insignificant and God was all significant. They believed that God had all the choices and man had no choices. That was the message he preached. God began to awaken a nation. He preached that the whole thing was in God's court. God's not standing up there with his hat in his hand waiting on us to do something. No, we ought to be trembling at an altar waiting on God to do something. The two sermons that he preached, one of them was, I thought was an interesting title, The Justice of God and the Damnation of Sinners. Whoa. Put that out on the marquee Sunday morning. Man, that'll draw a crowd. God is just in sending men to hell. Whoa. Wonder what all the crowd was saying. I tell you, that just ain't fair. I didn't know if anybody had ever come by and told you, but God ain't fair. God ain't never been fair, and neither will he ever be fair. I'm going to tell you something else may upset you. God has no standard of right and wrong. I did not know if you know that or not. God, he is not up there in heaven checking. No. He has no standard of right and wrong. Well, preacher, what does he do? He just does as he pleases. He doesn't have to check with nobody. He doesn't have to see if you want him to do it or not. He just does as he pleases. See, he's interested in making people holy. He ain't never been interested in making you happy. You will not find anywhere where Jonathan and Sarah Edwards were happy. No. It wasn't that. Of course, I don't know how you feel about it. When he starts making me holy, he ain't never made me happy. The justice of God and the damnation of sinners. His other sermon that we're so well acquainted with, he read it in manuscript form. It took him about an hour and 15, an hour and 20 minutes to read it. He read it by candlelight. He had very thick Coke-shaped glasses. They were so thick like the bottoms of a Coke bottle. Sinners in the hands of an angry God. That sermon was about the anger of God hanging men, women, and boys and girls over the flames of an eternal hell and their life connected like a spiral of which he could clip it at any time. He read that sermon
They said while he was reading it, many stood and held on to poles and screamed, "Stop! I'm going to hell!" I was wondering this morning, not being nosy, is there any preachers among us like this?
Yeah, come on, brother.
This is our roots. This is where we supposed to have sprung from. If that's your roots, you ought to be able to look back at your plant and say, you know, I do look a little bit like the plant from which I sprung from. Jonathan Edwards wrote one pamphlet. He called it 100 Resolves. I just mentioned three that have just so stirred my heart. Examining myself, remembering those that have come before us, looking at their faith and at their end. One of the resolves that he had, he says, I am resolved to obtain for myself as much happiness in the world to come as I can. He wasn't interested in being happy here. He was interested in being happy over there. Another one of his resolves that spoke to my heart. Jonathan Edwards said, I am resolved to saturate myself with the scripture that I might know Him. The only way you can know God this morning is through the scriptures. Saturating yourself with the Word of God. His third resolve caught me off guard. He said, I am resolved to live with all my might as long as I live. He said, as long as God lets me live. Remember, he only let him live 52 years. He said, I'm going to give it everything I got. Bringing up not only the middle life of Jonathan Edwards, but bringing up the middle life of Sarah Edwards. She gave birth and raised 11 children. She had one goal in her life. She did all her house duties with one thing in mind. She wanted to make Jonathan look good. That was her whole life. She wanted him to be successful. She wanted him to look good. Everything she did. You say, preacher, what did she do? She was in charge of all the household duties because you remember now, he studied 13 hours a day. He gave 1 hour a day to the family. She was in charge of everything from shearing the sheep, spinning the yarn, and sewing everything that they wore. She grew and produced and cooked everything they ate, from the fruits and vegetables to the slaughtering and tending to all the animals. She kept house, nursed, and schooled 11 children. On top of various and sundry visitors coming almost on a daily basis, soldiers coming through there and spending the night, and some of the most holiest men to ever walk in shoe leather spent as much as weeks at a time at the house. George Whitfield spent weeks at a time at Jonathan and Sarah Edwards' house. He said he believed she was the most holiest lady he had ever met. David Brainerd died at that house at the age of 29 in one of their bedrooms. If you have never read David Brainerd's journal, please get it and read it, but please have some place nearby that you can crawl up under. I feel like that Sarah probably slept in her spare time. I was wondering, is there any among us like these? These are our roots. Writer of Hebrews, these people are fixing to die for their faith. And he said, remember them that came before you. He said, examine closely their faith. Look close at their faith. Look how they ended their life. Pattern yourself after them. We have mentioned their early life. We have mentioned their middle life. I would like to bring to our attention their later life. Their oldest daughter, Esther, married Aaron Burr, the son of the vice president, Aaron Burr. Her husband was the president of Princeton College. They had two children together. Shortly after their second child was born, Aaron Burr died. Princeton College called Jonathan Edwards, sent mail to him, asked him if he would come and take the presidency of Princeton College. He was called to that position. Morning he left by horseback from his house for a 2-day ride. He told his wife, he said, once I get settled at Princeton, he said, I will return and we will move there together. 1 month after Jonathan Edwards took the presidency at Princeton College, he died. Three weeks later, his daughter Esther died. They said that Sarah had sent her a letter. They feel assured after examining things. They don't believe Esther ever got the letter. She had lost now her daddy. She had now lost her husband. She was all alone in the world with two children. Her mother could not get there as of yet, but she wrote her a letter. Once again, they don't believe she ever got the letter. She made this powerful quote in the letter to her daughter. She said, kiss the rod of God's correction and put your hand over your mouth. Whoa. She said, honey, she said, God sent his rod into your life. She said, while it's passing by, I said, kiss it. Put your hand over your mouth and keep it shut. Sarah Edwards left some of the kids that were still there at home with some friends. She left to go to Princeton College and retrieve her two grandchildren. She retrieved her two grandchildren. And en route back home, they stopped for the night at home. There Sarah Edwards died in that home. He was 52. She was 49. They died just a few weeks apart. In closing this morning, I'd like to look at their life verse. You know, a lot of people have that's my life verse. That's my favorite verse in all the Bible. I tell you, when Jonathan and Sarah Edwards said it was their life verse, I mean, it was sure enough their life verse. I share with you, first of all, his life verse, if you've got the Bible there. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. And verse number 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. I thought about that. It was his life verse, but what is this thing, glory? You got a handle on that yet? Do all to his glory. As far as I can understand in studying the word glory in the Bible, it has three major thoughts behind it. One is the weighty presence of God. Jonathan and Sarah Edwards did everything they did, even if they sat down at the table to eat, with one thought in mind. They wanted the heavy, weighty presence of God to be on what they were doing. The little word glory also has the idea of to eulogize, to lift higher than the highest. Everything that Jonathan and Sarah Edwards did in their entire life, they wanted to lift God that he might be higher than the highest. As far as I can understand from the little word glory, the little word means to bear the image or the likeness of the Son of God. They wanted to be like God. Everything they did. Not being nosy, I was wondering, is there any among us like this one? I bring to your attention her life verse, if you've got your Bible. Psalms. Don't ask me, I don't understand this. Maybe some of you can help me with it. You know, most of your life verses, you know, everybody knows them. Gracious, you know. The one you got, probably a million people's got, that's their life verse, you know. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And the Lord is my shepherd. That's my life verse. I tell you what, old Sarah picked her one out. If anybody I've ever met had this as their life verse, I've not found them yet. But I tell you, this old gal lived it. Oh, did she ever live it? Psalms 131. This was her life verse. Verse number 2, surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. That was her life verse. You say, preacher, what's the big deal about that? A nursing baby is always pulling at its mama. It's always wanting something from the mother. But when it is weaned, It lays upon its mother. It does not any longer want something from its mother. It just wants its mama. Sarah Edwards said, I have come to a place in my life. I don't want something. I just want somebody. I don't want God to do anything for me. I just want God. And she lived it. I was wondering, not being nosy, any among us like these two? In 1900, 200 years after Jonathan and Sarah died, a man by the name of Dr. Winship did a genealogy study of two families that lived during the early 1700s. One family were nominal Christians. They were nominal churchgoers. They had a nominal connection with the Bible. 200 years later, there had been numerous people come forth from that family. There was all kind of rapists, murderers, all kind of lawless people had come from this nominal family that had a nominal connection with God. Then he did a generation study on Jonathan and Sarah Edwards. In 1900, he found there had been 1,400 people had come forth out of these two. 13 of them were college presidents. 65 of them were college professors. 100 of them were lawyers. 30 of them were judges. 66 of them were physicians. 80 of them were godly politicians. There had been 135 books written. There had been 18 journals edited. Dr. Winship made the statement, he said he could not count. He just described it like this. He said they went into the preaching ministry in platoons. There was over 100 to come out of their family that went to the foreign mission field as missionaries. There were several hundred of them came and became the leaders and the directors of very strong mission boards. The psalmist David made the statement, let one generation declare the glorious acts of God to the generation to come. Jonathan and Sarah Edwards was in the mood of raising storytellers. They raised up people that would tell of the glory of God to the generation to come. I was just wondering in closing. Bad to forget. And y'all been so kind in listening to me this morning. I didn't want to forget to ask y'all. Is there any among us like these two that we could remember and pattern their faith and our lives end like their lives? Brother Earl, that's the message that was on my heart.